Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Your anthem. We'll talk about what your anthem for the week should be. I have an anthem for the week. It's I'm a unifier. That's what I am. So my anthem will be something that hopes to unify people. I'll have Anna give hers as well. Alabama Adriana, Judah. Adam Sussman on the NBA. He's been terrific to this point, talking about the bubble and more, and he joins us now. Adam, before we talk about the bubble, let's talk about the Blazers. What do the Blazers need to do this offseason?
Well, what's the end goal? If the end goal is a championship, you got to make a lot of risky moves. If the end goal is getting back to the playoffs, which is going to be a lot harder next year considering you got the Warriors at full strength, you obviously got teams who didn't make the playoffs, like the Suns, who are in the bubble, the Pelicans, the Timberwolves have the number one pick with Kat and D'Lo. So if the goal is making it back to the playoffs, you can look at free agency. Obviously, you have the Whiteside, $27 million coming off the books. But if we're being honest, this is a pretty bleak free agency. And Portland isn't necessarily cash rich with their cap space either. You can look at guys like Danilo Gallinari, who's been a great stretch four for OKC. You can look at maybe even at Jeremy Grant, who reports are coming out that he's going to reject his player option in Denver. So you can kind of look at those middle-of-the-road free agency guys. This isn't a great class, like I said, but I think those guys maybe give you an extra two or three wins, but none of them really move the needle. I don't know. Wait, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I keep looking at, look, you got the Clippers and Lakers. They're in moving forward unless something disastrous happens. And beyond that, I look at Dallas and I look at the Warriors coming back at full strength, as you mentioned, Utah, Denver, Houston, Oklahoma City. Memphis is good and young. New Orleans has Zion. You mentioned Minnesota with the top pick. And I'm trying to figure out where the Blazers fit if they mostly stand pat. And I got them like fifth, sixth. Unless something goes wrong, then maybe they're out of the playoffs with an injury.
Yeah, I think that honestly might be a little bit high. I mean, John, even though this team made an eight seed, they were literally the third worst defense in the NBA. Like, everybody talks about C.J. McCollum being 6'2", 200 pounds, not a great guard defender. And there is a lot of legitimacy in that. I mean, I was kind of an advanced stat deep dive yesterday. C.J., in terms of defensive win shares, is 302nd in the NBA. The guy, if I'm Portland, you got to give me a guard who can defend the best guard on the other team. I don't want Dame doing that every single game. Dame's already 30 years old. He has so much work to do on offense. I don't want him exhausting himself on defense the entire game. And there is so many. I guess I consider myself one of them, pro-trade CJ. But unless you're getting a player back who is better or equal to him, I just don't think you do it. But then at the same time, I don't think you're winning much if CJ McCollum is your second-best player. There's just a lot of frustrating things with him. Like, for example, 4 years ago, he shot four free throws a game at a 91% clip. This year he shot two free throws a game, 75% clip. Those are just like confidence issues, something like that, because it's really frustrating as a fan to see CJ, he's kind of capped out. And that's not good considering the contract he has right now. Dame and CJ, in 3 years' time, a 32-year-old CJ McCollum is going to be the 11th highest paid player in the NBA. And a 33-year-old Dame Lillard is going to be the number one paid player in the NBA by far, making $50 million a year. So there is some volition of moving on from CJ, but unless you're getting a player back better than him, it's tough.
Adam Sussman on the NBA with us. Carmelo Anthony says he wants to be in Portland. I say, great. Are you okay coming off the bench and being a veteran player with an affordable salary who can be a contributor? I don't think if he's a starter that you're a very good team.
No, and he played 32 minutes a game this year. That can't be That can't be a factor for the Blazers going forward. I get it in big situations. He hit threes, but even though this was his best three-point shooting year since the New York Knicks in 2013, it was still in league average. And this is a guy who's not going to give you much defensively, and I touched on those issues already. I mean, 27th, 28th, best team, in the NBA in terms of defense. They can't stop anybody. And I guess Ariza helps that a little bit, but Melo, he's best suited, like you said, coming off the bench, being that guy in the second unit. And that was his big issue in OKC. That was what ultimately almost ended his career because he wasn't accepting of that role. He kind of laughed off reporters asking him if he would come off the bench. He said, no, I'm a star, I'm this, I'm that. But I think he kind of came back down to reality when no team was going to sign him after he got cut by Houston. But Portland, I mean, let's be honest, he showed out a little bit 2 days ago in that game versus the Lakers. You can't blame him. I mean, somebody had to take those shots. And Terry Stotts, even when he had five fouls, he was still on the court no matter what. A lot of that comes down to only having nine players at the time and Melo being one of the better options. But going forward, this is a guy who has to play 16 to 20 minutes a game, creating his own shot in the second unit, not taking shots away from Dame and CJ next season.
We're talking to Adam Sussman, covers the NBA for us. Adam, we look at the Western Conference a little bit. You got an interesting series with the Rockets and the Thunder. You got Jamal Murray playing out of his mind. And then up top, you got the Clippers and the Lakers. What do you see in the West?
Well, I would be surprised if OKC beats Houston. Houston's kind of, they had the right idea of only guarding four players on defense and then leaving Lou Dort completely wide open. I mean, when Lou Dort is taking nine shots in the first quarter, going, I think, like 1-for-9 and 0-for-5 from three, you're doing something right. I mean, that was the worst game I've seen Shai Gilgeous-Alexander play in a long time. And Houston, Westbrook, although he doesn't necessarily fit that having one guy with four shooters around him mentality, he still gives you a plan B, something that Houston has desperately needed in years past. And when they eventually play the Lakers next round, presuming they close out OKC in these coming days, they can, I'm not going to say they can render Anthony Davis useless, but if you can stretch him out to PJ Tucker, who loves just standing in the corner and is content doing that, I mean, the Lakers are going to have issues. That series is so funny because on the Lakers, you're going to have four or five guys on the court who are 6'7 and over, and everybody on the Rockets is 6'7 and under. So it's definitely going to be an interesting confliction of ideologies. In terms of Clippers, well, let's talk about Game 7 first between the Utah Jazz and the Denver Nuggets. So there's been four players all time, I'm sure that you've seen this stat floating around, who have scored multiple 50-point games in a series. Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, Donovan Mitchell, and Jamal Murray in this series. I mean, that's ridiculous. Jamal Murray is a guy who's never scored over 20 points per game in terms of averages in his career. And he's doing this, he's making 50 look like the new 25. He's getting it done so easily. In Utah, they're throwing bodies at him, and you can listen to all the analysts you want, you can listen to all the advanced stats you want, but when Jamal Murray is hitting everything in sight, what are you supposed to do? I mean, he's taking step-back threes with two guys on him and splashing them in their face. It's a really entertaining series, and honestly, it's going to come down to who's better in Game 7, Donovan Mitchell or Jamal Murray. And that may be a bit of a simplification, but is it really? Because that's what the series has been so far, bar Game 1, when Mitchell outplayed Murray and they lost.
Going to have fans and families for the first time in the arenas. The NBA is allowing one family member of the players into the arena. I saw that the NBA is saying no profane language. Fans will not be allowed to run on the court. Now I want to tune in just to see what that's all about. I mean, this is going to be fun. By and large, like the entire playoffs, as you look across the landscape, Adam, is there a matchup you really want to see here? Is it Clippers-Lakers? Is it Bucks-Clippers? What do you want to see?
I think we're kind of getting it this round. I think it's Bucks-Heat. Heat is the one team that have the wings to consistently throw at Giannis. And in years past, kind of, you know how in like 2005, 2010, there was guys like Rajah Bell who got the Kobe stopper, like, attachment to their name. Now there's kind of like that with the Giannis stopper. And this year's Giannis stopper is Bam Adebayo of Miami. He's a young guy, but he's already one of the best centers in the NBA.
and they're going to stick him on Giannis. And when he's not on the floor, you have wings to consistently throw at Giannis. Sure, Jimmy Butler is smaller than him, but he's consistently one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA. You have Jay Crowder, who literally will just be on the court to shoot threes and be a pest to Giannis. So Heat Bucks, I'm from the Midwest, and I have to stand up for the Bucks a lot. I guess that's just kind of a role I've gotten, because the numbers attached to that team, best ever win differential in a season of all time. Like, we're talking historical numbers here, and nobody gives them the respect they need. People hate on Chris Middleton because he doesn't do much in the playoffs, but compare, like, Chris Middleton's stats to Klay Thompson's stats. It's like 1 point difference, same amount of threes a game, and Chris Middleton has a better three-point percentage. So I think the Bucks are for real, and even on Twitter yesterday, Heat in six was trending. So this is a matchup that people really like the underdog in, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Adam Sussman, I appreciate you. We'll check in with you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there he is on the NBA. Anna steps in the studio next. We've arrived at the part of the show where my wife comes into the home studio. She has been out and about on this beautiful day. How are you? It's a Monday.
Oh, yeah. It's Monday.
I love the six-year-old in our household this morning. She announced at breakfast, is it the end of the week? She thought it was like Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, we had to break the news to her. Sorry, babe. Beginning of the week. It's Monday.
The week is starting now. Hey, so I've been talking a little bit on the show today about anthems for the week, because I feel like we should start every week with kind of a mindset, and I'll give you mine first, okay? My anthem for the week, since it came up last week, you say this is a song that I like to sing in the shower. Paul McCartney, Stevie Wonder. The reason why I bring this song up is, of course, you know, I mean, I look around, we see people at each other's throats, politically, socially, and I don't know, I think back to this, and maybe it wasn't a simpler time, but it feels like it was a simpler time all those years ago when Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney sat at a piano and tried to tell us, hey, you know, learn to live and work and exist together. Care about each other. That's what I want to start this week with. It's a unifying message.
I don't think I ever saw the music video to that. It's amazing. It's great. And yeah, that's actually a song that you have consistently sung over the years. So it's not like you're just altering your tune for the ages right now.
And I usually sing the part of Stevie Wonder. That's what I'm singing. You know, I see myself more as, I don't know why, I'm Stevie. But, oh yeah.
There's some triangle action.
They got a triangle, they got a keyboard. A lot of guys in suits dancing, living in perfect harmony. Saturday Night Live did an interesting kind of spoof of that back in the day, where they had Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy. And Piscopo was playing Sinatra. And it was Sinatra and Stevie Wonder as kind of the spoof bit. I'll never forget that. So when Saturday Night Live, remember when Saturday Night Live was must-see television?
Yeah. I think for a lot of people, it still is, but it's kind of waned over the years.
To me, it lost luster. I mean, I used to set the VCR to record it.
Wow.
Like, that's back in the day. I would set the VCR. I can remember, like, 1985, you know, you'd get, like, the Chicago Bears on the show and stuff like that. But you had, you know, you had Dan Aykroyd, you had Eddie Murphy, you had, you know, even before that, there were great characters like Belushi and
ultimately Chris Farley and David Spade, and you know, it's today. I don't know. It's okay.
Yeah.
I feel like it's got like 5 minutes of good TV.
Do you remember the episode that they tried to do at the beginning of the pandemic?
Terrible.
Like, at least the pandemic here in the U.S., they tried to do, like, Saturday Night Live at home
yeah.
with all of the actors individually
yep.
doing skits, but, like, you know, single skits together.
It was terrible.
Really awkward.
It was really bad. It gave me such an appreciation for people who can be funny in that vacuum,
yeah.
right? Not having to be in that live performance vacuum. All right, what's your anthem for the week?
It's so weird that you asked that, because I was this morning when I was making breakfast, I don't know why the Everybody Plays the Fool song was totally in my head. I don't know why. The lyrics, like Aaron Neville in his, you know, denim, sleeveless jean jacket vest. Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's my anthem for the
Aaron
week.
Neville, big giant guy. With a voice that's like little voice. Does his voice doesn't like just as you look at him and you expect him to have like this baritone voice, and then he starts singing.
That's the beauty of it. He's got a great falsetto.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.